Celebrate the completion of your book and let Written Word Publishing help share it with the world. Take advantage of our professional, proficient, affordable, reliable editing, ghostwriting, and publishing services. Or you can purchase books and custom apparel. Visit writtenwordpublishing.com or call 720-390-5179 for more information. That's writtenwordpublishing.com or 720-390-5179.
Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-embodied place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, publishing pusher. It's another beautiful day, and I am honored to speak with Nicole Carter, the joy coach over here. Hi, Nicole.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Y'all, I got to bring the energy like Nicole, and I got to bring the smile like Nicole, because she's going to keep you smiling. But it is a blessing to have her on the show today. Nicole, I would like for you to do a quick introduction of who you are. Sure. I know you can spell it out.
I am Nicole Carter, known as the ultimate joy leader. You heard a cheerleader, I'm the joy leader. And it is my God-given mission to provide people with all backgrounds the tools to have joy, true joy, every day. And we do that by the acronym Jesus, Others, and You. And this is where we encourage everyone to write out their joy plan so that they can truly have joy every day of their lives, regardless of what they go through.
Okay, y'all. So it's all about joy. So Nicole, when I think about joy, okay, a scripture pops to my mind that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How does that scripture relate or intertwine with your sharing joy?
Yes, Nehemiah 8:10. And normally I have on a shirt that says that, the joy of the Lord. But today I think I got on, Jamily. But that scripture, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is the strength, is an encouragement to those that I come in contact with to let them know that whatever you're going through, you don't have to feel down about it like the people who Nehemiah was talking to at the time. You don't have to feel down about what you may have experienced in your past. You can still walk with joy with your head held high because God is on your side. Once we confess and repent, and move forward, he puts that stuff in the sea of forgetfulness. So we don't have to walk around with our heads hanging down. We can have true joy. I don't care what you may have done yesterday or a minute ago. Once you repent and move forward, God said, let's go with joy.
So Nicole, since I've been going through something, I kind of lost my joy. So what would you say to the person who has lost their joy? How can they gain their joy back?
That's a great question. And I come in contact with that type of question more so on the job, because I work around some people that are truly stressed out about different things, just life in general. And when I give them an almond joy at work, they're like, thank you for the candy, but I'm still feeling like blah. And I'm like, okay, well, we could talk about it. Because I don't want to diminish anyone's feelings about anything that they're going through, whether that's a loss of a loved one or the kids at our job getting on our nerves. It's legitimate, and they have a legitimate reason to feel how they're feeling. But after we allow them to vent, after I allow them to share and vent and talk about whatever it is that they may be experiencing at that moment, then I remind them that the word says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is where he wants us to be. Okay. This is how we can get out of that situation. And I share with them the plan. And the plan is to write out every day Jay, how they're going to strengthen their relationship with Jesus. So first, if they don't know him, we got to introduce them, right? And then encourage them to start small, reading scripture, studying scripture, learning scripture, living scripture. And then the O, how are they going to bless other people? We can find joy just by giving to others. I know sometimes it sounds weird, especially to those who aren't natural givers. Okay, how am I going to give when I'm feeling like this? No, it's not hypocritical. It's just giving from the bottom of your heart, and you'll see that you'll find that joy come back to you. And then the Y stands for you. You got to do at least one thing for you every day. We cannot surpass self-care. We've got to have that self or soul care is the buzzword is nowadays. We got to have all three letters, and that is true joy regardless of what you're going through.
True joy, y'all. Not pretentious, but true joy. In one of my rooms this morning, we actually were talking about the joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. And we were reminding everyone of Nicole's proven plan. Why? Because if you put it in motion and you work it every day, Nicole says, it's going to work for you. And we know it. Some of us know it to be true. And Nicole, you exude the joy that's behind you, the words, and you exude that joy when you are connecting with people. I was thinking about your speaking of how people are going through things, and life is life, as they say. Life is happening. Stuff is moving. Stressors are coming. But how we still have to make sure that we can keep our joy in the midst of it. And you have even, I know personally, have talked about even issues in your own life, but still rising above it. And so how important is it to be the example when you're talking about joy?
Listen, I have to do what I say or try to encourage other people to do by writing out the joy plan. I remember May 27th was my dad's birthday, and he's been gone now for over 2 years. And last May, he had been gone for a year and a half, and it finally hit me. And I was going to see my daughters, and I took a detour and ended up in Charlotte at a hotel. And I just stayed there for 2 days and cried for two whole days. Listen, y'all, it caught me off guard. But God allows me to see things so that I can have more compassion with others and be like, nah, you don't have to grieve. You could just have joy regardless. It doesn't work like that. It's not a magic wand where you say, boom, have joy, boom, have joy. You've got to have your arsenal packed, kind of like having the full armor of God on you. Part of that is doing the plan every day. So when you have situations like that, you can be reminded, okay, God. All right, I've been in this spot for a few hours now, a couple of days now. Now, Lord, you said the joy of you was my strength, so you got to pull me out of this, right? So I appreciate those types of situations because it does show me how to have compassion with those who may be at their final rope with their job or their spouse or their children. And I don't say, boom, you're supposed to have joy. Write that plan out and have that joy. No, I can have compassion and say, okay, I feel that you're feeling this way. And this is natural because we're human, we're in the flesh. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to stay there. Okay. So how are we going to get out of this? Let's talk through how we're going to get out of this. Have you been studying your scripture? Have you been praying? Have you been giving to others? Even though you're in your situation, you still got to give. And you got to love on yourself at the same time. So I appreciate those opportunities in my life so that I can remain humble and keep it real because people want people that are real. And yeah. They want you to have compassion too as well. Yeah.
Listen, y'all. So it's all about joy, and everything that Nicole talks about, it stems from joy. It's going to exude joy. And that's what we're talking about today is ultimate. She talks about ultimate joy. Now, Nicole, I know that you work in the education system. Tell us about that and how you even got to that, moving from corporate America.
Listen, I always wanted to teach. It all goes way, way back to my stuffed animals and my doll babies on my bed and teaching them how to drink tea from the teacup. And oh my goodness, I've always wanted to teach. But when I went to school and found out how much teachers made, I said, I got to make some money first. You know how you are when you're young. You just all about the money, all about the money. Worked in corporate America for 20 years. Then when I retired, I wanted to teach. I was teaching as an adjunct at several community colleges, but the need was in the K through 12. I knew I couldn't do with the babies in the elementary school. And the high schoolers, to me, they already kind of got in their mindset who they are, what they're going to do. I chose middle school. And people said, you sure? Middle school? Are you crazy? Yep, that's me. Middle school is a very unique stage. They don't know if they want to be young or if they want to be grown. I don't know which one I'm going to get on a daily basis, but I know it's a calling for me. And I tell them all the time, I'm not here for a paycheck. I'm here for you. And right now, that is part of my God-given mission, is to pour into these babies. I teach at a Title I school where a lot of them don't have stable home lives. So I showed them what stability looks like, what love really looks like. I hug them. We pray. I talk about Jesus. Hello, one-on-one. And that it's a true calling. So it's more than just me teaching, exploring careers. It's all about helping to mold these mighty men and women of God.
You know, Nicole, as I hear you sharing that example, it reminds me of a conversation I believe we just had a couple of days ago about how important the voice and the heart of the teacher is to the student. And sometimes at that moment, they may not recognize it, but later in life, it comes back to them. And I use an example of, I can't remember the majority of teachers that I have, but I always remember my first African-American female teacher in the sixth grade named Miss Moore, who was an encouragement to me. So it's like, and the words that she shared with me and how she had to take me aside and share some things with me always has stayed. And she was my inspiration for wanting to be a teacher.
I had the similar experience, but her name was Miss Mack. It was the sixth grade too. African-American female teacher, older. She wore her glasses down like that. And she impacted my life. I didn't know it then, but the words that she spoke to me years later, just I could hear her, see her, smell her even, the impact that she made on my life. Because I thought I was tough. I used to fight all the time in school just because. Yeah, bless my heart. Somebody prayed.
You know they did. You know the mamas was praying. You talk about teaching, that you've always wanted to be a teacher. And I talk about, you know, like in sixth grade, I wanted to be a teacher. And I can always remember when I was young saying these two things: I'm always going to be a teacher and I'm going to Africa. I'm always going to be a teacher and I'm going to Africa. So beyond being a teacher, was there anything else that resonated with you that you thought about and said as a child that has kind of flowed over into your adulthood?
I wanted a family. I wanted money. I wanted a house and I wanted a bunch of land. Well, I think I've accomplished all the goals. Majority of the goals that I had on my bucket list, I've accomplished. God has really, really, really been good to me. And I have to say it's partly because I listen to his guidance for the most part. That I've made several mistakes. Oh, trust and believe. But here's the thing. God knew that I was going to do those things because looking back, every mistake that I thought I was making led me to this point now. That's why they say you get wiser with years. Because I'm like, wow. At that moment, I thought that was the worst thing that could have happened to me. But hindsight, looking back on it, it helped mold me to the person that I am now. It helped me to be more compassionate for those who may be going through similar situations, because I can relate. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. And, you know, we're transitioning here because there's so much I want to talk to you about in such a little amount of time. I know that you went to school and you have some degrees. I know that, and this is interesting because you were in finance and MBA, which is varied business and management courses. How did that prepare you to be a career in education arena? Because it seems like night and day.
Well, my degree in finance led me to working in the insurance industry, which is where I spent the decades. And because I was always ambitious, I was always looking for the next promotion, it led me to be an assistant vice president within this huge Fortune 200 company, which was rare at the time for a double minority, African-American female. So I learned a lot about the industry, about leadership, about just management and business in general. And when I retired and left that area, I had to look and see how I could enter into the education field without having to go back to school and get an educational degree. So I had to teach within that umbrella of my profession. This new curriculum came about called Exploring Careers, where they were introducing a hands-on module classroom. And I raised my hand. I'm like, I can teach that. Sure, I can. Not knowing if I could or not. But I knew that I like organized chaos. So I was the one for the job. And I'm able to bring my real world experiences into the classroom and let them know you got to have these types of workplace skills. You got to be a team player. You got to have integrity. You have to have social skills, communication skills. You've got to have these skills regardless of what career you go into. And we incorporate that in everything that we do, those types of workplace skills. So that's how it comes back full circle with the finance degree and working in the industry, and then being able to share that with my middle schoolers, the real world experience.
Yeah. And I think even though, say, you may be in career and technical right now, those arenas and that 20 years of expounded experience really brings great variance into the classroom, because I know personally people who teach but have never had any real life world experience. And usually there's no life application to the teacher. And I think that's an extra element that you bring into the setting. What do you think?
Absolutely. Because the students ask all the time, why do I need to learn this math this way? And I'm able to show them, well, first of all, we need to be able to read for understanding, called comprehension, because you want to make all this money, but if you can't read the contracts, then people are going to steal majority of your money. Yeah, you may be able to buy a Cadillac. Well, I say Cadillac all the time because I date myself. But anyway, you may be able to buy a Mercedes or something. They can relate to Bugatti, but you could make a whole lot more and then reinvest that. But you got to learn how to comprehend, and you got to learn how to solve for the unknown variable so that you're not taken advantage of when it comes to the math behind your contract. And once we start talking about those types of things, because of course, most of the kids want to be professional sports or some type of music artist. So when we start talking about contract and contract law and the math behind that, then they turn their cell phones off for real, because they're supposed to have them off anyway. Then they turn their cell phones off for real and they start to pay attention. Once we get on their level, especially when it comes to talking about professional sports and what's all behind that, and music and what's all behind that, and then saying, okay, what happens if your voice goes away, or what happens if you break your leg and it's beyond repair. So you got to have something to fall back on. And I'm very passionate about it. And the students can tell, the parents can tell. And at the moment that I'm no longer passionate about, that's when I know it's time for me to move on to something else.
So you plan to have another career?
Well, you know, I have one with the joy. And Dr. Nan, I hadn't told many people about this, but I'm actually in school again.
Okay. Hey.
I harden all my parts.
I'm not upset with you about that, Nicole, because if somebody was going to pay for me to go right now, I'd probably be there myself.
Yes. Learning is a lifelong process. And I teach that, but I actually live that too, because there are certain things that I hope to do next and next. So yes, absolutely. Not yep. sure exactly what it looks like, but I know it's more.
Well, we like to say learning is ever evolving. So it's a continuous cycle, because we don't want to become stagnant in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we have to be the example for others, and you have to be the example for your students, because some students say, you're in school again. Aren't you already? Don't you already have this job? Don't you? But there's more to life. There's always more to learn.
Right. Absolutely.
So, Nicole, I know that you are in ministry, and I'd like for you to share with everyone what your ministry I know joy is a part of it, but overall, what does your ministry look like? I believe you and your spouse are in ministry together. How does that look and how does that flow?
Absolutely. Well, my husband is a pastor. He is a pastor in calling. He is a true pastor. He has compassion for the people, whereas I'm rather direct. And I say, baby, you just have the patience of Job sometimes. And that's what it takes to be a pastor. And he has blessed me with carrying out my God-given gifts, which is teaching. So he allows me to teach Bible study, or if there's a special type of curriculum or something, he knows I will study so that I can share with those that we are called to teach, whatever it is, whether it's relationship based or if it is teaching the babies in like a Sunday school vacation Bible school aspect. My gifting is teaching, whether it's teaching in the classroom in a public school or teaching Bible study or vacation Bible school. That is truly my calling.
Thank you for sharing that. And I've been blessed to meet your husband as well as your beautiful daughters. They are beautiful, Courtney and Michaela, sweet spirits. I think Courtney is the one that did the Jamily, and I was like, okay, that's Nicole's daughter, because she's energized. I was like, I didn't know she had that much energy. Oh my gosh. But let Nicole tell y'all what Jamily is, because y'all be like, what's she talking about Jamily? Tell them about Jamily, Nicole.
Yes, we were in Morning Joy one day, and we were talking about how the Morning Joy individuals that come every day are more like family. And I believe it was the joyful one who said, Jamily, we are Jamily. She started saying that and it just clicked. And so instead of saying we are family, we are Jamily. And we have the shirts this year that says Jamily on it with the J-O-Y. And that's how it came about. And so we were thinking about the entertainment on Saturday evening, and we were reminded of the 2023 conference when we played Family Feud. So we created Jamily Feud, and we had a ball playing Jamily Feud this past conference. It was awesome. So much
Y'all,
fun.
I was at her conference, and they were really energized. I was exhausted. They were really energized. They thoroughly enjoyed popping that buzzer and getting them answers wrong too. But it was a great fun time. And that's what we want to do. That's a part of joy.
Right.
That connection with one another. Mm-hmm. Also, Nicole, I know that you have written several books. I would like for you to tell us, I want you to go back to the beginning. And what inspired you to write your first book? Tell us what it is and tell us what inspired you to write that book. And how do you think it has been a motivator for others?
The joy, J-O-Y, was given to me by the Lord in 2009. But I sat on it for 10 whole years, 10 years. And I had a coach. And she said, there's a book in you. And I was like, how do you know? But she kept saying, there's a book in you. And it was related to joy. And I was like, how do you know? The Lord had showed her joy and book. So with her coaching, I developed the first book 10 years later, 2019, Establishing Joy, A Leadership Fable. And it is a testament of actually my story fictionalized, because I didn't get permission to write about certain people. So the names have changed to, anyway, you know the same. The first book was Establishing Joy. Right behind that, in the same year, I wrote Joy as a Single Mom. So it's the sequel to the first book, Establishing Joy, Joy as a Single Mom. And there are actually 10 books total in the series, but I haven't written them yet. They're all in here. I have the outlines for them, and they're coming soon. Just don't know when. In the meantime, I wrote last year before the 2023 conference, I wrote the Morning Joy 21-Day Devotional. And this happens to be volume one of three. And this book was dedicated to the moderators of the Morning Joy Show. And I wrote this with the Lord's help, of course. And then the next one, volume two, Morning Joy 21 Devotions from the Soul, is a compilation of several different, 18 in fact, authors that were a part of this anthology. And this devotional, oh my goodness, this one was good. But this one, oh my goodness, it was amazing, amazing. And then just when I thought it couldn't get no gooder, we came up with the nursery rhyme, 21 nursery rhymed inspired devotions from 14 authors in this one. Oh my goodness, y'all. This one right here. I thought this one was good. This one is just as good, if not gooder. I know, y'all, I know that's not a word, but God really moved on behalf of both of these projects. So I encourage you to, if you're thinking about a gift to give someone, that's something that you can definitely give. And guess what? Dr. Annette is a part of both of these anthologies, and her sections, her devotions are amazing. And we have a special treat because her daughter Nikki is a part of the nursery rhyme one, the last devotional, volume three. And it is good, 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 good. Thank you for allowing me to share the books. They have been a blessing to me.
So I happen to have the Morning Joy 21 Devotions from the Soul right here in my hand. And the reason I am showing this here, or speaking of this, because we're doing this in audio and video, but the reason I'm talking about this book is because we are actually doing this in our Monday night book discussion. So we have a book discussion, Dr. Annette, book club. We have a book discussion on Monday nights from 6 p.m. to 6:45 p.m. We just started this last week. So we will be doing the second devotion this week. So I'm going to put a plug into Nicole right now. So Nicole, any of your authors who are interested are welcome to reach out to me and join us on their week or any week, but definitely on their week if they can, and just share a little bit from the devotion with us. But we don't read the devotion in our session. We discuss what we gained from it.
And oh, that's awesome.
Life, yeah, it's just discussion, because everybody need to do the study on their own. Yes. So I'm offering that to you all. But listen, everybody, you can get this book. Nicole, tell them how they can get your books.
Absolutely. You can get them a couple of different ways. You can, of course, go to Amazon or Barnes and Nobles. But if you go to establishingjoy.com/links, L-I-N-K-S, there's a tab there to get all three devotionals. You can get the actual fables. You can get one of the fables as well. And there's a special to get all three devotionals, volumes 1, 2, and 3. Or you can get them individually. But if you go to, again, establishingjoy.com/links, L-I-N-K-S, get your devotions today.
Awesome. Okay, so that was my plug for Nicole's book. And so even though I am an author in the book, sales has not been my goal for this book because there's enough other people and I'm doing enough other things. So I'm not done. My promotion for Nicole's book has pretty much been in the book discussion, and that's where people are getting them. So if you have this book, join us. If you want to get this book, get it from Nicole. If you want to join the book discussion, reach out to me. Okay. But I just want to say that. No, so listen, Nicole, tell us, because I know it's always something else. Tell us what else is going on in Nicole's world that maybe those who are listening may become a part of.
Yes. First and foremost, I would love to invite you all to Morning Joy, where we meet every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're live on Clubhouse, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and effective next week, we will be on a TV station that is linked to Roku. So we will be live on TV starting April 1st with Morning Joy 4.0. We're super excited about that. We'll have more promotional information coming forth about that, but we're on a TV station called Fifth Sun, which is minority owned and operated. And it's on the Roku station. You have to download it from your apps on Roku. But I'm so excited about that. We start that April 1st with 4.0. We also have what we call the Joy and Godfidence League. And the Joy and Godfidence League is where we meet with small groups of individuals every Thursday. And we start a new cohort next Thursday, the 4th. At 8 p.m. If you're interested in that, all of this is on that same website, establishingjoy.com/links, L-I-N-K-S. And finally, if you desire to join us for the 2025 conference, we would love to have you. This year's conference, well, 2025 conference, will be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the theme is already set. This is the first year we're going to actually have a theme other than joy, and it's all about relationships. So spouse relationship, husband-wife relationship, we're talking about parent-child relationships, co-worker relationships. It's all about relationships, and it's going to be good, 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 good. So that's what's going on, sis. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Nicole. Listen, so you can hear Nicole has quite a bit going on. There are some great things for you to reach out to her and be a part of. She will be having this wonderful, she does a joy conference every year. So you might want to start working on being at the joy conference. I was there last year. I've been a part of all three because the first one was virtual and I was a part of that. And I was a part of 2 and 3. So hey, why not join Nicole, the ultimate joy coach? She's a sweet, bubbly personality. You gotta want to come up out of that shell around Nicole. I'm gonna say that, okay? You can't stay in the shell around Nicole, but you will have a great time. Nicole loves laughter, she loves engaging with people, and that's you definitely. Feel the joy. Listen to that joy, the joy of the Lord in the midst. Nicole, as we get ready to close, I would like for you to share an empowering thought with those who are tuning in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to encourage everyone that first and foremost, we all have issues, but I like to call them opportunities for us to reach the next level. Okay. Whether that's a transition of a loved one or one of your children acting out, or you're not being able to communicate with your child, issues in a marital relationship, issues on the job. We all have issues. Everyone. Don't ever, first and foremost, aspire to be somebody else. Don't ever aspire to be somebody that God has not called you to be. We are all uniquely created for a purpose and a reason. And once we realize that, we can truly live a life that is filled with joy, because we're not trying to fake the funk. We're not trying to be like somebody else. We're just being our uniquely divine selves that God created us to be, so that we can advance the kingdom, because that's the ultimate goal. We're put here to advance God's kingdom. And once we know whose we are and who we are, we can do that with joy. Oh my gosh, it is such a peaceful place to know who you are and how to live in Godfidence and walk the walk he called you to do. So I just want to encourage everyone. Don't look at nobody and say, oh, I want to be just like them, because you don't know what they went through, right? I want to encourage everyone to ask God, God, show me who you want me to be. And give me the tools. Let me know what it is I need to do in this season to be all that you created me to be. And we got this. We got this. And you got people like Dr. Annette West and myself who are here to help you. Yes, we do have coaching businesses, but listen, there are times when we just pull people to the side. I know Dr. West does it all the time. It's not about the money, because God will provide. God will. He has before, and he'll do it again. We'll provide. It's about advancing the kingdom. So I just want to encourage everyone under the sound of my voice, make sure you know what God has called you to do, and then go out and do it. Love you guys.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. I want to say to everyone, you are blessed to be a blessing, and know that you are to be the visible manifestation of his invisible presence. I will catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vanessa Chad Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, johnapublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.